Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it is open lines as we take your calls and hear your special stories about love, life, relationships. Who's on your heart tonight? My name's Delilah. How are you?
No comment.
No, we're not doing that show tonight. It's, of course, Real Ghost Stories. And we got a whole bunch of calls lined up that you guys have called into us. You, of course, the real ghost story you'd like to share with us, you call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 855-853-4802. And we will not play Michael Bolton after we listen to your call. Guaranteed. I may sing a little Celine Dion, but we're not going to play Michael Bolton. That's the Real Ghost Stories Online guarantee.
Does anybody else notice that after she's supposed to pick a song for whatever she just talked about?
They're never appropriate?
Never.
Ever.
They're always just, it's like, that is awful.
Yeah, that's something I could never really figure out.
Yeah.
I used to work at a station that ran that show. And it was always very bizarre to me, the songs that would be chosen. I mean, every once in a while you have one that kind of fits, and it's usually like if the person has specifically said what song. But so many times it's like, I don't really know why this is what the connection is here. And it's even worse at Christmas time, because it's like all Christmas music a lot of times, depending on the station that's running that show. And it can have like the most horrible, just sad, depressing story, and then it goes into like Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here? Yes, it's radio at its finest. So anyhow, that's not this show, but we will go over to our first caller of the show today. Of course, like I said, 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story. And our first caller today is Brian in South Carolina. Brian, let's hear your real ghost story. Hello.
Hey, this is Brian from Columbia, South Carolina. I had two quick stories to share. One of them was not a ghost story, but it was kind of weird, random paranormal thing. When me and my ex-wife, wife at the time, obviously, were on our honeymoon, we went on a ghost tour of Charleston. So during the ghost tour, they told us a story of the man, this man who was killed in an alleyway. So, of course, they walked us through and showed us the area and told the story of how this man was killed. And he, one of the things that killed him was not only that he was beaten, but he was also stabbed repeatedly. And I think one of the major causes of death was one stab to his leg, which caused him to bleed out. And while he was telling us the story, he also mentioned that while doing this ghost tour, numerous people at the end of the tour, during the tour, said that there's something bothering their leg. They go to check their leg, and there is a cut on the leg, which, kind of gave me the chills here about it. So I'm like, well, it's a ghost tour. I'm probably making it up, just to kind of freak you out. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, man, how interesting would that be if that happened? Because I've always loved paranormal and good stories and all that. So, lo and behold, we start walking through and, you know, going to some other sites. And I felt like a weird kind of burning sensation on my leg. And I ignored it because I thought, I hadn't been getting much exercise and my leg was just maybe strained or whatever. You know, my mind's playing tricks on me because, you know, you get hyped up sometimes hearing stories and your mind plays tricks on you. So I really didn't think much of it. We continued on through the tour, finished it, you know, got back to the hotel, and it was still kind of lingering there a little bit. And it just bugged me. I was like, I got to look at my leg. And sure enough, I sit down on a chair and kind of, you know, had some pretty long shorts, you know, pull it up a little bit. And right there, right around my, I think it was around my calf or my thigh. I can't remember exactly where. But there, sure enough, there it was not a cut, like exactly like a knife went through, but it was red, like as if someone had taken something and went down on the skin with, I mean, it's a straight line, as if someone had cut it. But it wasn't like bleeding or anything. It was just red and kind of swollen. So I don't know if, that was just a weird coincidence, but it was pretty weird and always sticks out in my mind. I also have a quick ghost story, which is actually a story from my uncle. He was visiting a friend of his a while back, I want to say 70s or 80s possibly. While he's visiting his friend, he's at his friend's house. It's two guys, and they both live in a pretty good size, fair-sized house. So while he's there watching a football game, and I think during the commercial or something, you know, he's not fully paying attention to the TV, but, you know, kind of chatting with the guys a little bit, you know. But he's, you know, not focused on the game. He's looking around the house a little bit. And out of the corner of his eye, he notices a guy walks by into one of the back bedrooms. He doesn't think much of it. He was like, oh, you know, he must have another guy living with him. I mean, it's a pretty good space. And, you know, doesn't see the guy for a while. And then finally he goes, he asks the guy, he goes, hey, you know, who's your... the roommate, is he new or something? And they kind of like stop and kind of look a little bewildered and are like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I just saw a guy walking past earlier, you know, wearing like blue jeans and a white t-shirt, describes kind of like a 50s attire, slick back hair and all that. And the guy's, you know, face, of course, the two guys look at each other and they're like, oh, man. And he's like, what? He goes, we don't have a roommate. And he goes, what are you talking about? I just saw him. He goes, no. What you saw is something that we've seen him since we moved here. We believe he's a ghost. And he, of course, he's like, I don't believe you. He goes back there, looks in the back bedroom, doesn't see anyone back there, and they go to explain to him, yeah, we've seen this guy since we've moved into this house. We even did a background check on the history of the house and come to find out that during the 50s, a guy did go into the back bedroom, which was the exact same spot that he saw him walk to, because, a guy went back there and shot himself. He went to the side. It was crazy because he walked in with no knowledge of any of this. His friends had never brought that up to him, and he saw it and was just pretty awesome. But I love you guys' show, and hope that this makes it on there. If not, you know, whatever. I love you guys' show, and hope you guys continue to have much success. Thanks a lot. God bless.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us. There, that's that story right there is the sign of a true haunting when you have something like that happening.
Which part? The scratch on the leg or the guy in the back bedroom?
I was referring more so to the guy in the back bedroom where you have The person with no notion of even a haunting, never been told it by their friends, and then just out of nowhere, they just happen to see the same thing that the other people are seeing. Yeah. That's just like the verifiable, there's something going on. That's not scientific, but it really, you know, it pretty much states, yeah, you got a ghost here going on. It's not just you and your friend that have talked about the idea and somehow it's, you know, conjuring itself up in your mind. It's going on.
Yeah. Have no prior knowledge.
Sure. Now, the other thing with the scratching of the leg, pretty, you know, verifiable too, I would say. It's scary when you actually have like a physical manifestation like that on your body. That's scary. It is one of those things that, you know, it's a little more write-offable, I guess, though, too, by skeptics. Like, well, you know, you're on a tour, you're walking around, you could easily scratch, bump, and it just happens to coincide with the story, you know. But, you know, the odds aren't there.
Yeah. And it's not unheard of for people that go on ghost tours to have that happen, not just on that tour, but on all kinds of other tours.
Sure.
Some kind of physical, you know, touching, scratching, hair pulling, pinching, you name it. So I believe it's a completely true ghost story.
I do too. I think he had some really, really interesting experiences. It's cool to hear where he was like, and it was awesome. You know, he was really excited about it. It's not like, oh my God, I got freaked out. I'm like, yes, the ghost. So good stuff. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. And thank you for supporting the show. We really do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to Wes.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Wes from Bowling Green. I wanted to give some follow-up to the last story that I called in about. It's been a couple months, but to go over it briefly. I know, Tony, if I had to read all those stories and listen to all those stories, I'd have trouble remembering the ones that didn't stick out. Basically, my godson had been living with me for a while, and a series of strange events had started going on, and he was home one night, and he had footsteps come right up to him when he was in the bathroom with him, pounding on the walls. And prior to that, we had several lights, I mean, blow. We would replace them, and they would go out. And what you guys were explaining, that it started to make sense, and maybe with all the negativity and things in his life, something had latched on to him. Well, the follow-up, he had left. He had moved to California for a few months to, I guess, try and get a fresh start, whatnot. And he came back to visit. And he was at our house. We were playing pool, and it was late in the night, and we had had a couple of drinks. It was him and my wife, and my wife brought it up, and I shared with him what you guys thought, that maybe something that kind of attached onto him, and he shrugged it off. And, you know, seeing as how I was, you know, halfway between drunk and feeling good, I, well, let's find out. So I said, well, if there is something with you, would you please give us a sign? I would like to know. And without missing a beat, with all three of us there, I had a bunch of empty boxes stacked up, and one of the boxes came off and went down and hit the cymbal on one of my kids, you know, little toy drum set, and just sent the cymbal shattering. And you could, oh, it was great. You would just see him and my wife just turn just pale, pale sheet white, and it was almost out of a movie how he took this big, dry gulp and just kind of looked at me, and he was like, I think I've had enough pool for tonight. So I don't know what you got going on that we don't know about, but it might be time to get right with the Lord, son. But it's always great to hear follow-up stories. And that was pretty nerve-wracking, kind of scary for my wife, but, you know, and for everybody out there that's not an EPP, you need to get off your ass and do it, because that's where some of the best stories are. And you know, you only get so many episodes during the week, and you're missing out. You owe it to everybody in the community. Get on there, sign up and subscribe. And the best part of being an EPP, you don't hear Tony make any sales pitches for becoming an EPP. That's worth it in itself. So get on and do it. Thanks.
Thank you. And I do apologize for having to make the pitches all the time, but it's what you have to do, it seems, in order to remind folks so we can indeed continue to do the show. Without our EPPs, the show would not go on. So thank you for being an EPP. And like you said, if you're not one yet, please consider becoming one. It is what keeps the show alive. And there's some pretty damn good stories in the EPP episodes.
I think so.
If I do say so myself. So it's a little extra spookiness for you. They're full episodes. And of course, you get access to all of them when you sign up. Like 40 some episodes right there and video content and more. And it's worth it. It's some good stuff there. All right. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost story with us. Let's see here. Should we go to Lorraine in California?
Sure.
All right. Lorraine, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Lorraine from Northern Los Angeles. I called earlier and I was thinking about it and I realized my story was a little confusing because I was a little out of it, still being sick. Also, something else just happened like an hour ago that was really creepy. And I thought, I don't really know if this is allowed, but I thought I would update it. And, you know, I'm a little more coherent now and actually tell you in a lot more detail what happened. So let me just give you the background again. I live in an area of Los Angeles where a lot of bad things have happened. Across the street from me, there was one of the most brutal murders in, you know, the history of our area. And probably 7 blocks down from me is what people call the worst murder house it took place in. And then down the street from me, there was a murder-suicide. And 4 blocks down, there was a mother who killed herself because her child died. And then less than a mile away, there was a plane crash that killed several people. So it has a lot of tragedy related to it. And I've seen things before. They typically don't, you know, bother me. But probably a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I noticed something that just, I figured it was worthy of being on your show. I was out walking my dog, and I noticed there was someone sitting in the back of the family car. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Who the hell is in the car right now? And it's like 10 o'clock at night. So I put the dog in the house, and I go over to the car, and I walk around to the front of the car so I can see him through the windshield into the back, and there is a person sitting there, but they don't have like defined features. It's kind of just a black person, like a black shadow person, but I could see, you know, their nose. They had white eyes, and they were just staring at me, and I thought it was a shadow, so I move around to the, you know, side of the car, and its head moves. I'm like, this is not a shadow. And I'm looking at it, and it had like a bag over its head or something. And I could see the outline of the nose pressed up against the fabric and the way it turned. And I saw it, and I got so scared, and I ran back in the house. And I'm like, I'm never going outside again. I'm never using the car again. Never going back out there. Sorry. So 2 days later, I'm like, okay, I was probably just tired. It was 10 o'clock at night. It was dark. And I kind of pushed it to the back of my mind. And I had woken up from my sleep about 2 in the morning, 2 days later. And I'm usually a very sound sleeper. And I look towards my closet, and that person is sitting on the end of my bed and notices me and leans forward and reaches out its hand and kind of gets up off the bed and just walks closer and closer and closer. And then my cat runs in, and all of a sudden the thing's gone, and my cat's hissing, and I'm freaking out. And the next day I started coughing up blood. I went to the doctor, and the doctors were like, there's no reason you should be coughing up blood. You don't have any irritation. You don't have, you know, you didn't get a bloody nose that's now running down the back of your throat. There's nothing. And it continued for about a week. And each day I would see that figure somewhere, like in my room, or I'd see it standing in the living room. And one of my friends was like, "The heck is that over in your corner?" And I looked over and there it was, and then it was gone. And it's just very apparent. It was always there. Well, not, it was always there every day. I could see it like multiple times in a day. It got really creepy. So I actually started doing research about my neighborhood, which is how I found out about the plane crash, because I didn't know that it happened. But I couldn't find anything that would match up with, you know, like there was no hanging in which a person would have a bag over their head, so I don't know what it's related to. But it got to the point where I stopped coughing up blood, and I noticed as I stopped coughing up blood and I started getting the color back in my skin and I started getting healthier, I noticed it less and less and less. And I stopped coughing up blood and I started to get, you know, most of my symptoms from whatever I had are gone, and I don't see it anymore, and I don't, you know, it's not in my room. I haven't seen it anywhere. And I also noticed, I sent in a story through letters, and I don't know if you played it yet, but it's going to make more sense if that one has been played. But there's a cat that I had that was a little bit passed away that shows up every now and then when I'm upset, when I'm in trouble. And I noticed that when the shadow figure disappeared and I started to get better, I saw that cat again, the spirit of my cat. It sounds weird. It sounds really weird. I promise you it's not made up. But yeah, that's my story. I hope you enjoyed it. I have a lot more from living in this neighborhood. I have seen weird shit. So I will call back in if you would like me to. I can also send in pictures of the articles I found of what's happened in my neighborhood if you're interested. And I love your show. Hope you share my story. Hope I was entertaining or at least interesting. Yeah, thanks for all you do. Have a good day. Bye.
Do you remember this?
Oh, hang up.
Here we go.
Yep, hang up. Do you remember the story about Lorraine's cat? It was kind of an ash-colored cat with big yellow eyes that would show up. And it was a very unique looking cat, but she had seen it periodically, and she actually watched it like dissipate in front of her one time.
Kind of, yes.
Okay, that's the same person.
Okay.
But, you know, I at first with the coughing up blood and seeing that,
mm-hmm.
I kind of thought, well, maybe there was something medical going on that was causing her to see that, but somebody else saw it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of throws that out the window.
Do you think the coughing up blood was in related to the paranormal?
I don't know if it was or not. I'm wondering if maybe something paranormal saw that she wasn't feeling well,
mm-hmm.
and tried to kind of creep in like they do.
Like help?
No, not help.
Oh, like, there's a sign of weakness here.
Yes.
Let's swoop in and be an ass soul.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, she mentioned having a bag over its head and
mm-hmm.
not thinking of not finding anybody around that had been hanged with a bag over their head. But,
sure.
You know, you could think of a kidnapping.
Sure.
Or murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other things where bags are placed over people's heads and
never really quite good.
No.
Anytime you get a bag over your head, it's not usually a sign of anything well.
No.
So unless it's a trick or treater.
I don't think this was a trick or treater.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably go not so good there. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number, and whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. Hey, be sure to press subscribe and you will not miss any of the episodes as they are released. Helps us grow in those rankings and you get all the episodes sent directly to your device or personal computer. PC for short.
Okay.
Like that. PC.
How many people still have those monster old desktops?
We got one right here.
Well,
there's one right behind me.
But we need that for the show.
Sure.
That's
actually
different.
Actually, we don't. I just need to put a new computer in here that's a little more compact. But this works.
It works.
This works just fine. But actually, I think quite a few.
Really?
I was actually looking at computers the other day, and I just, you know, was wandering the aisles, and they still sell, you know, the big desktop, their workstations mainly.
Oh, sure.
You know, for like really heavy duty, you know, work, if you are, you know, CAD design and things of that nature, or as we use for video editing and everything too. But yeah, for the most part, it's amazing how compact things can be now and how powerful they are. You know, it's just, I mean, look at your phone, you know, it's, you know, 10 times more powerful than probably the best computer I had 8 years ago.
Sure.
You know, it's just, it's crazy what can be done. But the big ones are still in existence. Although I don't know, I don't know how faster or how much faster they are than like a laptop or something that's, you know, one of the top of the line. So there's always like, there used to be a big difference between your desktop computers and a laptop as far as what it could do. But now it's like, I think the line's getting so blurred.
Yeah.
They're just magically powerful. Magically. Let's go to Aaron. Hi.
Hey there. I am going to remain anonymous. My good friend of mine passed away tragically probably about 4 months ago. And since then, I have gotten into like more paranormal, like, I mean, I haven't been using Ouija board or I haven't been, you know, calling on her or anything like that. I've just been, you know, looking, like I started listening to you guys more. I started listening to other podcasts, other ghost stories, and I got really, really into it, you know. And, you know, she did show me a few signs that she had passed over and that she was okay and stuff like that. But it was really weird. I don't know, the past week, I've been waking up every single morning, I should say, 3 o'clock in the morning, like on the dot. And I wake up and, like, it's like something shakes me. It's like to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. And then, like, you know, I'll just pass out. But this morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and nothing shook me or anything like that. But as soon as I woke up, there was 3 knocks. It was knock, knock, knock. And I was like, what the fuck? That's really fucking weird. And, like, as soon as I did the 3 knocks, my dog started growling. And, like, I didn't want to look, I didn't want to get up. I was just so scared. And I had passed out on my couch last night. And it seems like it's been happening since I've been sleeping on my couch a lot lately. So I don't know if anything positive comes out of those 3 knocks. I've only heard negative things that come out of 3 knocks. So I didn't know if you guys could give me any input on this or not. I have a kid, and I don't want anything like demonic coming into my house. It was really creepy. Yes, there could be something else, but that made the knocks. But it was just very ironic how as soon as I woke up, somebody woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning on the dot, and there was 3 knocks, and then my dog just growling and like, you know, was perched up, and I mean, it was freaky. I can't believe I fell back asleep after that. I was so scared. It was like one of those moments where it's like you put the covers over your head and you're like so hot, you're sweating, but you don't even give a shit. Like, you don't care because like you're just so scared. And I ended up just passing out. But no one else has experienced anything. My sister lives with me, and my fiance, he doesn't believe in paranormal stuff, so he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to listen to it. So you guys are the only ones I have to talk to. Please, like, give me your input or any listeners. Hopefully it doesn't escalate. Hopefully it's nothing. But I just had to vent about it. It just, you know, freaked the shit out of me. So love you guys. Bye.
Okay, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 knocks, and the dog's upset. There's no reason to answer that door. Don't do it.
Say, get up with a plate of cookies, walk over with the Ouija board in hand. No.
No.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it. There's no reason to. If somebody is actually there, that's a dumbass thing to do, is to come up and knock on your door at 3 a.m. so they don't deserve to be answered anyway.
It's not a good sign.
No, it's not a good sign. I don't think you should take that risk.
Yeah, whatever it is that's there is not something to necessarily explore, if you will. I would, I would strongly advise against it. This is going to be an interesting one to open up to the community on the forum section on our website at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to weigh in on that, please do so, because I think she could really, you know, use some advice and use some input on the topic. So feel free to weigh in. I'm sure there'll be some people who really don't feel there's anything to be concerned with, but I would say it's not worth it.
When you knock on a door, how many times do you knock? Like if you go to somebody's house and...
Usually 3.
You do 3?
I do. Da, da, da.
I always do 4.
I try to do 3, but I trained it really methodical. So it's really creepy and
that's
slow.
That's really good.
And then I try and make a couple grunting sounds as I'm like knock. That's how I like to do it.
I was thinking about it, and I think I always do 4. And it's just out of habit. Yeah.
Maybe it is 4.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I so rarely go to anyone's door to knock. I so rarely ever leave our home. So,
yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. Maybe it is 4.
I think it's 4.
I'm going to go back to 3, though.
Don't
just,
do it.
And only go to people's homes at 3 p.m. or 3 a.m., one of the two.
The door is going to be not opened more frequently.
That's it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And by the way, the name of that person was not Aaron. It was anonymous. I just saw on the thing, A-N-O-N, and I didn't realize that the first N was an N. I thought it said A-R-O-N.
Next time I'll spell it out for you.
All these fancy abbreviations you've been using there. Fancy dancy.
Most people get Anon as anonymous, not Aaron.
I know that, but the thing is the letters are so tiny over here. They are tiny. I'm not just, hard of seeing either. It's tiny little letters. Let's go over to Ray in Ohio and listen to Ray's story. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Tony. Jenny, it's Ray, the friendly funeral director from Ohio. I'm just calling in to tell you the other half of my story. I know I had told you the one about my dog recently, and I wanted to add an addendum to that. And I also had sent in a story about funeral home spirits, and I need to make an addendum to that as well. So the first thing is, speaking with my dog, Fella, I had mentioned that he had had a little collar with a tag on it that said, "Hello, my name is Fella." And one thing that was really strange about the whole situation was, he didn't have a collar or a tag. I had just seen that on him when I first met him, and later on, I kind of gotten curious and wondered where it was at, and my mother said she hadn't brought him home with a collar or a tag. And so that was always one of those things where I just kind of said, spiritually, he told me what his name was. And now the other thing was, speaking about the funeral home and how I said that, we do have spirits here from time to time, but they don't haunt the place. I guess I put my foot in my mouth, honestly, because I was speaking with my wife about this, and now my wife is extremely sensitive, and she's always been able to tell when something is going wrong or somebody's in danger or something like that, and she can sense spirits quite easily. And she had said that regardless of what I believe, aside from the few times that we've had something happen here, when there is a spirit here that's restless, in other words, somebody who'd actually been in a car accident or hadn't passed away in what you would call a relatively normal manner, that she has had them come and stand beside the side of the bed and try to get her attention, but she ignores them. So I guess we do have a little bit more activity here than what I had originally suspected, but I still think that they just pass on after their services are over with. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is the house behind the funeral home. When we lived in the state of Delaware, we were in a little town called Wyoming, and I lived right behind the funeral home that I worked at. Now, this place was a hot spot before we ever took over. It actually originally belonged to a church that was right across the street. That was what they used for their offices. And one of the the ministers of the church flat out proclaimed that the house was infested, or in other words, it had a lot of paranormal activity. And they literally tried to have an exorcism on the house, where several of the women in the church came through with her, the minister, and they went from room to room doing sage and saying prayers. But when they got upstairs to the main room in the upstairs, which turned out to be our bedroom, really, really weird things had happened. And I'll just kind of sum it up, which basically said the people had told us that all of their flashlights had gone out at once, and the room became intensely cold. And at that point, the minister just said, "There is nothing more I can do here," and they left. And they continued to use the building as an office thereafter, but they did not use the upstairs. Literally, when we had gone in there, the upstairs had not been used for probably 3 or 4 years. It only had a few things up there for storage, and, I mean, no one would go up there at all. So what happened was, we lived right beside the funeral home in the house that had been lived in before, and the funeral home had purchased it. And that is where we took over and lived as I was an apprentice. Well, I was only supposed to stay there until the other house, which they had just purchased, the one I was discussing, was cleared out by the church. And then they were going to tear the house that we were living in down, and we were going to move over to the office home. Now, they didn't tell us anything about the house with the spiritual, you know, things happening or anything along those lines at all. So what they did was, we moved from the one building to the other one, which was, you know, a parking lot away. And they tore the other house down, which was really sad because it was a great home. And our dog would actually go downstairs in the basement with us, because the basement was almost completely set up. You could go down there, and it was almost a furnished building, but it wasn't quite there. But our dog would go down in the basement with us, no problem. Well, as soon as we moved into the house and we started carrying things downstairs to put away, like our Christmas stuff and all that other junk that you don't have all year round, our dog refused to come downstairs with us. And it was really bizarre, because he's never had an issue with that before. And it got to the point that if you asked him to come downstairs or you called him, he would bark and growl and back up. And then if you came up to get him, he literally ran away from the door. And that should have been our first sign that there was an issue, because he's never done that before, ever. Whatever house we lived in, he'd never done that. So that was really our first indication that there was something happening in the home that we should have realized. But as we moved in, it was really quiet at first, but things began to happen more and more often. Now, this is not like your typical haunting where, you know, you put down your keys and they're gone for 4 days and then you find them again someplace else. The first real indication that there was a problem was, my youngest son, who is also sensitive, could not sleep in his bedroom. He would come into our room at night, very, very late at night, and I don't sleep. I don't go to bed till about 2 a.m. to begin with. And he would come into the bedroom and try to crawl into our bed. If he, you know, he could squeeze in. But he would walk around the bed, and if we heard him come in, we'd just say, "Thane, go back to bed. There's nothing, you know, wrong. Just go to sleep." And he would turn around and go back. And that happened every night for the longest time. Well, the funniest part was, after a while, we would hear the door open, and someone would come in and walk around the bed from one side to the other, and I'd say, "Thane, please go to bed. It is 4 o'clock in the morning, or it's 3 a.m., or whatever time it was," and he would not be there. I'd look, and you would just hear the footsteps as they were coming towards you on your side of the bed. And there was no one there. And I was thinking, well, maybe I was dreaming this, or, you know, maybe he was in here and he left before I got up, you know, woke up all the way, or things like that. So this started happening more and more frequently. And as it did, another thing started occurring, and it only happened to me, which my wife is very grateful for. I would be laying in bed, and you would hear the door open, and something would go to my wife's side of the bed first, and then it would walk over to my side of the bed, and then something would start rubbing my leg. And I don't mean in circular motions. I mean it would rub from the ankle all the way up to the top of my calf in a very sensual way. It was very, very disturbing. And at first I thought, you know, my wife was doing this or whatever. It never occurred to me that there was nobody there. And I looked one night, and there was no one there, and the fingers were still there for a few seconds. Like, it just continued to run down my leg. And I thought, oh, this is not good. So I was talking to my wife about it, and I said, "This has been happening for a couple of weeks, not every night, but it happens, and it wakes me up." And I said, "And I really want you to look to see, you know, when I feel it." And she was like, well, I really don't feel like looking to see, you know, what thing is there. And I said, well, I want to wake you up next time it happens. So she was laying facing towards me, and I was facing toward her, and the rubbing of the leg would start. The only time it ever happened was when I was facing away from the side of the bed. If I was rolled away facing toward the edge of the bed, it would not occur. But if I faced inward toward the bed, it happened. And I remember it started, and I poked my wife a couple of times, and I just said very quietly, it's happening. And she says, I'm not looking. And I would say, please, please look. And she would say, no. And so we never did have her look to see what was there. But if I looked, there was nothing at all. But that continued. Now, I had no idea what was happening with my wife, and this is why she didn't want to look until after we had actually moved out of the house. During a time that this was happening, where I would hear the ghost child come into the room and walk around the bed, or the ghost, whatever it was, that would stroke my leg, she was seeing shadow people. And I don't mean, you know, during certain parts of the day. I mean, it was all the time. They would pop up around a corner or around a doorway or in a room, and she would see them when she was in the shower. And it was really scaring her to pieces. So, you know, we finally said we're moving. She didn't want to leave the area we were in, but she was like, I definitely was happy to get out of the house. Well, before we moved, I remember I was downstairs with my dad one night, and I was reading a book. And I have knickknacks. I have thousands of books. And on my shelves, I have these little knickknacks that I've collected over the years. And it might be something stupid or, you know, a little figure or something like that, or, you know, a little rock or pebble, whatever. But I've got stuff all over my bookshelves. And my grandmother, when I was a kid, had gotten me a little cow skull when she went out towards Texas. It was a magnet. And I've always kept it on my bookshelf, you know, just kind of remind me of, you know, when I was a kid and how she had brought home stuff for me and things like that. And I still have it to this day. Well, I kept having this really horrible feeling somebody was standing behind me, because my chair was not against the wall. It was towards the open end of the doorway. And I kept feeling someone was behind me. So I was really having a hard time reading. And I kept looking back behind me. And finally, I was like, can you please just step away from behind me? Or if you're going to watch me from the corner, or just let me be. And I'll never forget, as I was saying that, I was staring at the bookshelf, and the little Texas Longhorn skull literally turned slowly and turned right toward me and faced me. And I said, well, that's enough for me for tonight. I'm going to bed. So I went to bed that evening, and we were packing up the next night. And I was sitting on my couch packing up my books, in fact, and my cat and dog were both in the room with me. And I'll never forget this huge ball. It was about the size of a softball of glowing light, literally just kind of flared up on the floor right beside my cat. My cat jumped back. My dog twisted his head and about freaked out. And it sat there for about a split second and then zipped out of the room. And the cat and the dog both watched it. And I thought, well, I know I didn't imagine that, because the dog and the cat both reacted to the light as well. So that was the last thing that kind of happened right before we had left. And I've talked to friends of mine that work at the funeral home still, and they've said that, you know, the people that have worked in the building since have said that certain little strange things have happened, but they've not been in the building long enough for anything to kind of build up yet. So I'm kind of curious. And the only reason why I knew the story about the minister, my friend Hank, his wife Dottie, was actually one of the women who had gone in with the minister to do the clearing, and or I should say the field clearing, because she had kind of filled me in on all the details of everything after the fact, well after we had moved in. And I'll never forget, my boss used to laugh at me, because he was always saying, you know, you live in the spook house. And I thought, well, if you only lived over here for a little while, you would know. You know, he may have seen a ghost one time at the funeral home he lived in. And that was right after he bought it, like I had said before. But he didn't really prescribe to any of the spiritual or ghostly happenings. And that's where I say homes that are nearby funeral homes tend to be, in my opinion, gateways for the spirits that are leaving from their services. Because I do firmly believe that spirits and ghosts watch their services take place before they pass on. And I think that usually there's one area close by that becomes like a weak point, and that's where the spirits go. And that house undoubtedly was one of those portal places, or a weak point, or a thin part of space or time, or whatever you want to call it, because there was just tons of activity. And my wife had filled me in about all the things she had seen afterwards, all the shadow people. But really, that was the thin place that really occurs near funeral homes. And I think that if you were to ask around, people that live near a funeral home would find that the places close to the funeral home, but not the home itself, actually have a high activity areas because I firmly believe the spirits have to go somewhere. Well, very good job, you guys. I'm always listening to you every day, and that, you know, especially if I'm in a prep room doing some work. That way I can keep focused. Keep up the good work, and thank you for all you do. Take care. Bye-bye.
I still think that is so cool that Ray listens to us while he's preparing people for their funeral.
It's always interesting where it's like, yeah, they're listening in the prep room. And so there's probably some ghosts then that are also enjoying the show.
Probably so.
As he's sitting there working on it, then he's they're able to, oh, see, look, these people are trying to communicate with us. I wonder if we inspire any ghosts to haunt more aggressively.
I don't know. I hope that we can kind of explain things how we're feeling it is.
Sure.
And maybe that clues them in as to what to not do.
A guide to haunting. Haunting for dummies is what we are for the undead.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I thank you so much for calling in and sharing your stories and being a loyal listener of the show. We do greatly appreciate that and love you to call in. An interesting perspective there, too, on the funeral home
mm-hmm.
business and the haunting and the chances of it. And because we've talked about that so many times, of is that a likely place to be haunted? Yes, no. And how much, if yes? You know, interesting stuff there. So thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Logan in Georgia. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Logan Lee. I'm a musician out of Atlanta, and I like to listen to your podcasts when I'm on the road. I find Tony's voice very soothing, and Jenny just kind of compliments him very well. I miss Jenny a lot when she doesn't come on the show, but I'm not sure if my story is a ghost story or we'll classify it as a paranormal story. I was coming back from Tennessee on a long drive. Well, first of all, let me kind of preface this whole shebang by just kind of giving you a little introduction about me. I don't really believe in ghosts. My brother died at a very young age, and I, you know, what any other kid will do, you're going to try to find a way to kind of contact him. So until I was, he died when I was about 12 years old, and I've been trying to contact him for, up until right after college, and that's kind of like when I gave up, and it's just, you know, I guess he just kind of moved on, but, you know, it would have been nice if he'd come and, you know, said something that he's in a better place. But anyways, not really. I don't know why I really listen to the podcast. I think it's because I've just been involved trying to, you know, seek out my brother. That paranormal stuff just intrigues me very well. So anyways, I was driving home from Tennessee, and I was really, really tired. I know I shouldn't have been driving, but, you know, I had the podcast going, so I figured, you know, I'd be engaged a little bit. And, you know, eventually, you know, how quick it'll get to you when you fall asleep at the wheel. Anyways, I ended up doing that. And I had the podcast going through my speakers. I have a Bluetooth connection. So I was listening, and all of a sudden, I can't remember which episode it is. I might have to go into the backlog. But I think it was a story that Tony was reading about an Indian coming to visit an ancestor, and she'd gotten sick. And anyways, I heard Tony's voice say, "If you don't open your eyes, you're gonna die." So I kind of heard that, and I and then that's about the time I realized that I was sleeping at the wheel. So I kind of quickly opened my eyes, and this was on a long stretch of highway where it was just straight. It was on I-75 heading south. So it was fairly straight. So, you know, I kind of went to sleep because of that. I mean, it was just a boring drive. So I heard Tony's voice say, "If you don't open your eyes, you're going to die." And at the moment I opened my eyes, it was a traffic jam right in front of me. So I had just enough time to kind of gather my bearings and slam on the brakes. So, like I said, I don't know if this is a ghost story, but it's definitely something paranormal, because if I had not heard Tony's voice and realized that, I probably would have rear-ended somebody going probably 70 miles an hour, because I had my cruise control on. So, love hearing your podcast every day, and it really does kind of keep me going on these long road trips. But thank y'all very much, and keep it up.
Thank you, Logan, for that call, and I'm gonna thank you in advance, because I'm never gonna hear the end of how Tony's voice saved somebody's life. He's gonna say that one forever.
Let me tell you the story about the time that I saved somebody's life when I spoke to them.
Yeah. That's going to be the next 50 years, everybody.
No, it's interesting. You know, it's, I think what that can be, is, I don't know if it's necessarily paranormal, but I have something similar. I mean, the timing is interesting, mm-hmm. You know, that he heard that. Obviously, I don't believe I've said that quote in a show. I suppose I could have at some.
I bet you did somewhere, just because of all the weird shit you do say in the show.
Well, I mean, and it could have been written in someone's story too.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been somebody's story I was actually reading, and that was what the copy was, and it happened to all line up where he heard that right as he was getting into that situation. And it's one of those things of just the world working well.
Yeah.
And just weird things happening for a reason. But I've had, things happen where it's nothing paranormal, and nor is it life-saving or changing, but if I fall asleep with a TV on and I'm watching Frasier or something, my mind will start to generate new scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the TV goes off and the sleep timer goes off, for a little while I'll still think I'm hearing the show, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, that's not in this episode, and then I'll wake up and the TV's off. But my mind continues to generate that sound of the voices.
You're just dreaming.
Yeah, essentially just dreaming in the sound of what I was just listening to. Now, that's that. To have it kind of happen in this situation where it's matching up to, you know, actually life-saving moment, that's interesting.
That is
interesting. It's not me by any means. I'm not in any way taking credit for that. But if that's what was able to get him, whatever it was, whatever the force was that was looking out for him, you know, able to essentially use his mind and what he was paying attention to, which is our voices.
Mm-hmm.
If it works, it works.
Yeah.
So, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm going to tell you the time.
Oh, God.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. If you like the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. That helps keep our show on the air. Without our EPPs, the show would not go on. So please, 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 please do that, and we can continue to pump these shows out for you and keep the thing going, keep the boat afloat. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. I speak to people in their dreams.
Great.
Did I tell you the time?
Oh.
Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.